And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus on this rainy Tuesday, May 20th. And we're looking at rain showers up and down the valley. It's been heavy amounts of rain in Lakes Country, where some areas have picked up in Otter Tail County, picked up 2 inches, and that continues to grow. We've picked up a little over an inch here at the studio. Our record rainfall for the date is 1.36 inches, and I think we'll easily get to there before midnight. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, along with our Ag Director Bridget Riedel. And boy, this is the first time looking out the window of our studios here that I've seen standing water in the ditches. It's been a while since we've seen amounts like this, so this is great news.
It makes a difference that it's not been just an overnight inch and a half, right? That we've had nice and slow rains. Mm-hmm. This is a good soaker for those who are and doing any tree planting and so forth in their yards. You're going to see that as you go down. Now we're going to watch water move through that soil profile and give us a lot better subsoil moisture, which is great, because if this shuts off, we need that, because we've probably got 50% of the crop planted according to latest crop planting reports.
Oh, is that it? Okay. I figured it would be a little bit higher.
Remember, you got to go statewide average.
Right.
Okay. So some parts of the state are higher than others.
Mm-hmm. And even out in the western part of the state where we've had extreme drought conditions, they're getting some relief out there as well. And more rain is in the forecast for the western part of the state as we head into the weekend. But for us, we're looking at generally cloudy skies and on and off showers throughout the day, northwest of the FM area. Now, from the valley eastward into Lakes Country, it's pretty much going to be steady light to moderate rain for the rest of the day, with highs today only in the 40s. I had to look that up to see if we were at anywhere close of record cold high temperatures, but we're not. That would be the upper 30s, but 40s is cold enough for sure. Tonight, showers continue. Might even see a few wet snowflakes mix in, with lows about 36 or so. And then Wednesday, light showers continue with highs right around 50. Then we'll dry things out for Thursday and Friday with temps in the 60s. So we'll dry it out for a couple days. There is a little bit of precip in the forecast over the holiday weekend, but it really doesn't look like much around here. So this a nice soaking here between 1 and 2 inches across the area. There will be some spots that get up to 3 inches, but definitely good soaking. This wipes out all drought conditions in the valley and into Lakes Country, which is great news. We're actually, after we're done with this rain event, we'll be a little bit above average on the season in terms of rainfall. So that's good news.
And we would take that. That's okay to be a little above season right mm-hmm. now. But this is an area that we have to remember, when you ask for rain, temper that, because too much rain happens here real fast.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. But the ground has been so dry. It's really soaking it up nicely. So
it's going well.
Yeah, that's good news.
Absolutely. And when we think about plantings and so forth, one of the things to keep in mind, there was a little research experiment done by University of Minnesota, and they wanted to find out how easy it was to order plants online, except finding out if they were the noxious ones. So Minnesota Department of Ag went ahead and made plans and orders for about 77 different plants. Of those 77, 57 turned out to be on their noxious weed list. The other 20 were already classified as a highly probable to be harmful to the ecosystems in the state of Minnesota. Hmm. So what that tells us is we have to be careful of the online orders, because Don Kinsler has been in house with us with NDSU Horticulture, and Don has said, you know, when you see a plant and it's, you know, the hosta that was white with red tips, those are AI generated. So when you see something, you have to verify that it's correct. And also, it makes sense to check with your state department of ag and or county agent to say, is this on the noxious weed list? Weeds that we, or what we now classify as weeds, like leafy spurge and purple loosestrife, salt cedar, they came into this state as ornamentals. And then they went out of control. And now we find them noxious weeds. They overtake our prairie grasses. They overtake the good things that we have going on. And so we have to be very careful about those. So just because you can order it online doesn't mean you should. Perhaps buying local, and again, checking with your county agent is the good way to go. We're going to have a lot of comments on that today, I bet, aren't we? Sarah's already gearing up.
Do you remember that a couple of years ago when there was that Amazon scare that people got those seed packets in the mail?
From China.
From China.
Happened again this year.
And it was, did it? Okay.
Yes.
So that was pretty scary.
Yes, and so you're exactly right. That happened this year again, where people were getting packets in the mail of unidentified seeds. State Departments of Ag, particularly Texas, was saying, don't just plant those because we don't know what that is, right?
Did they, it didn't say on the package what they were supposedly?
No.
No?
Nope.
Huh.
And it can be a form of bioterrorism, which sounds absolutely crazy, except right. that you can introduce these noxious weed species. They can compete heavily with your crops. And yeah, it can be a form of bioterrorism.
It goes downhill very fast. So, okay, so let's just kick off with who those voices are in the studio today. We have a couple. And that first voice you hear is, go ahead.
I'm Sarah Lovis. I'm from Hillsboro, North Dakota. I currently work as an agronomist with GK Technology, and I know Bridget. And Dean.
Thank you. Thanks for not leaving me out, Sarah. I appreciate it.
Oh, today's going to be fun. Sherry.
And I am Sherry Cook, and I work for the Mosaic Company. And I work as an agronomist as well, but a technical sales manager by name or by title, and I cover the upper Midwest as far as my geography, and so I deal with fertilizer.
Mm-hmm. So here's the thing, and we have a third joining us yet as well, and that will be Marcia Van Leer. She'll be popping up on video here pretty quick. Now, these three ladies and I have frequently met for lunch. And to
Martini lunch?
To discuss industry business. Uh-huh. Thank you.
Yes.
And so we have often used the title professional ag ladies. And I thought, hold on. First of all, when waitstaff sees us at a table and then hears the conversations we are having, A, they think we're out of control. B, because there's four women and six conversations, which is not unusual. And they can get pretty highly technical and involved because between all of us, we have a lot of years of experience. And I just thought we're going to bring this little show on air. And Dean, of course, is thinking,
I'm just a referee.
Right. And that's kind of what you are. But yes, we wanted to introduce this group and some of the discussions that we can have. You know, everybody here has been a guest once before in a different capacity. Now it's time for us to kind of do it all together. And I have a couple of questions for all of us. Like I said, we're going to have Marcia join us. I think she's out in Bowman today, and she's going to join us by video. But just a kind of a quick thought here. All right, so I'm going to ask a couple of questions to kick us off. And one of them is, okay, viewers can't see this, but Dean, you're going to have to referee it. Oh, wait, we must be getting Marcia. I see another little black square coming. Years
looks like the Brady Bunch online.
And wait till people call in with questions. They're going to have to designate who. So, all right. Over 20 years experience. Who's got over 20 years experience in the industry? Okay, so.
Sarah, you got to be close.
Sarah's doing the math. Okay. I know Marcia is also 20 years. Are you over 25, Sarah?
No.
Okay. Sherry and I yes. are over 25. Mm-hmm. Are we 30 yet? Mm-hmm. I'm close. You're 30.
Yep.
So Sherry was,
y'all don't look a day over 25.
Right. Thank you.
Smart for a guy that's going to hang out with us.
Yeah, right. I literally was an intern and I got to ride fields with Sherry when I was in college. She taught me all sorts of great things.
Thank for not designating what those things are, but you did learn a few things.
There's
for sure.
Statute limitations, not completely right. off. That's so right. We will have many more of those things to come. I'll give you a little background on who we are. We have a game that Dean's even going to be able to help us out with today. So we will be back after we catch up with the livestock markets from the American Ag Network. Marcia will join us and we'll go from there. Be right back. And welcome to a fun-filled afternoon on Weather and Ag in Focus, where we are bringing in the professional ladies and egg. And I am joined by Sarah Lovis, Sherry Cook, and we have Marcia Van Leer on the phone with us. Okay, Marcia, where are you today?
I was out in a very muddy wheat field looking at wild oats out by Dickinson. So
we hear they've had like 6.5-7 inches of rain out there, right? Wrong?
Yeah, it was about that. So I was down by New England and they're just over 5 inches.
Okay.
I know Dickinson, Gladstone, that area, you know, they were over 6 or 7. Talked to my boss who's from Gladstone, and I know he said his mom was working cattle this past week, and they, sad part is the cattle pens weren't even muddy from all that rain.
Yeah. Wow. Nice soaking in.
It just sucked in.
Yep. That's a good thing. Marcia, many of you know, is with Gowan USA. Gowan USA is one of our sponsors for our Here We Grow project, and we give them a huge thank you, as well as to Cotacol Fuels and Propane for all the work that they do to keep farmers running, whether it's with propane, diesel fuel, and more. And then also Ellingson Companies. Ellingson Company, especially after all this rain, if you're watching where your water goes and you need to consider what you should be doing for drain tile, Ellingson Company should be your next call. So for those who have questions while we are going on today, you are welcome to call us on the JLA Insurance phone line, 701-293-9000. You can also send emails to Dean at weather, myself at ag@flagfamily.com. Watch us on YouTube, Facebook, and Acres TV live streams. All right, ladies, I am going to toss out a couple of things for us to talk about today. What we're going to do is whenever we have a term that Dean doesn't know, he is going to ring that cowbell, and we have to stop and answer it.
It's going to be a long afternoon.
So the first thing I'm going to ask is, Dean, you can see all four of us, and I'm going to ask a couple questions. So tell us how many hands go up when I ask these questions. First one is, okay, of the four of us, who's got retail experience? I mean, working at a retail agronomy center, how many hands go up? And that, okay, that's how many?
Three.
How about farm backgrounds?
Oh, that's all of you.
That's four of us. Mm-hmm. Seed sales. Who has been selling seed at some point in time? You can add Marcia to that.
Three.
All right. Fertilizer. Who's done fertilizer sales and recommendations? Marcia's got hers up.
Okay.
How about chemical? Same thing. All right. All of us.
All right.
Running equipment. Sprayers. Fertilizer tenders. Any of that?
Little tender work, but never a floater.
I had a sprayer. I got a sprayer background.
Planters.
Planters. Okay. Marcia, what's yours in equipment?
Tractors. Combines.
Everything. I'm a heck of a green card operator.
Wow. You're a glutton for punishment.
Green cards get blamed for everything.
So my dad would never let me drive the combine because that was the easy job.
Right.
I got stuck in the green card. I'm like, thanks, Dad.
All right. So here's the first question I want to toss out. And I heard this conversation going on this morning amongst some other agronomists. So I'm going to ask our opinion on this. Where we've got soybeans in the ground, and they're probably naked. All right.
Uh-oh.
Became an R-rated show.
Okay. So first of all, we have to explain naked soybeans means we don't have any seed treatment on them. They just went in the ground ready to roll. Okay. But now it's cold, wet soils. So if that's my field as a farmer, what are my watchouts? What do I need to do differently? I'm going to give that one to Sarah to start.
Great.
Speechless.
Great. That doesn't happen often.
Okay.
Just thinking, where do I start?
Right. And honestly, one of my big concerns right now for soybeans in the ground is the temperatures that we've been having. You know, I've seen soybeans sit in the ground being cold and dry for a long time and then come up. But when it is cold and wet, that can get really, really complicated. I think one of the only replant situations that I ever dealt with soybeans, because honestly, soybeans are pretty tough. Like
usually,
you can put them anywhere and they'll pretty much germinate and do their thing. But I think one of the only times I ever saw a real replant issue was where it was cold and wet and the seed eventually just rotted. So what we're going to hope for is warm temperatures so that they start growing.
Okay. All right, Marcia, how about you? What are you going to add on there?
Well, my biggest concern would be some early season disease pressure. You know, what's the rotation? What are we looking at for early season disease pressure? Seed treatment is one of the cheapest insurances that these guys can do. And I don't care if it's on corn, soybeans, wheat. Seed treat is cheap insurance when you're looking at the general cost of things. So my concern is really going to be early season disease pressure.
All right, Sherry, what are you going to add?
Well, if they're in the ground already and they're not treated, so what are the options then?
Right.
Right, so then the options get cutbacks because, as we all mentioned, wet, mm-hmm. cold, soggy feet, right? So they don't grow as fast. They're not going to pop out as fast. We tend to lose population, so scout early. Make sure you know what you have, what your planting population is. And then, you know, like Marcia said, just be out there. Make sure you know what you have. If you're noticing any early season diseases out there, and there's lots of options from there. So talk to your consultant, talk to your agronomist, make sure that you stay on top of that, especially if they're not treated.
Dean.
Now, Sarah has said earlier, okay, you know, you don't want the cold, wet weather, or mm-hmm. the seed will rot. How long before, and you said we need warmer weather, obviously, how long can the seed stay in the ground with weather like this, and how warm do you need it after we get this nice soaking rain? I mean, are you talking 50s and 60s, or you want 70s and 80s?
Well, Dean, you bring up a great question, and honestly, the scientific answer for that is one that all farmers love. It depends.
Yep.
But I will tell you that even this spring, a friend of mine down in South Dakota actually had his soybeans planted. It was probably April 22nd, and they nicely just popped out of the ground. Was it last week, I think? And now, of course, we're going through all of these changes. You know, every time that a seed has to stop its growing process, our goal with germination is to get that shoot out of the ground and get it to turn green so it can start to photosynthesize. Once it starts photosynthesizing, then we can depend on the sunlight and that process for life rather than getting that energy out of the seed. So every time we have to kind of slow down and wait for that temperature to warm up again or get to that scenario where it will grow, that takes energy out of that seed. So that's it depends upon, like, how many times do we go warm and cold? How many times? Those kinds of things. And obviously, you need enough moisture to Absolutely. Get that seed to swell and start that germination process.
So real quick, we're going to go to our news break. But what's the latest you have seen soybeans planted to make it to maturity? Sherry, remember what's the planting date you've seen?
I've seen soybeans planted the 4th of July. And it depends on the fall. It depends, right?
Yes.
If we have a decent fall where we don't receive an early frost, we're probably okay. We're seeing less yield, of course, because it's usually earlier maturing variety. And so around that 4th of July is about the latest that I've ever seen.
Marcia, about the same?
Yeah, and remember, I grew up in southern Minnesota where we double cropped.
Yep.
So we'd have, you know, fresh peas for the cannery. And I've seen, you know, we've planted 4th of July, July 10th, somewhere around there. And it's been double O's. And we've made it through the fall.
And I've seen 4th of July up by Hillsboro.
I've seen the 5th as well.
Yep.
Yep. So we know that we can do it. We are way early. We still have time for replants and so forth. We also have time to take in the news. And when we return, we'll continue our conversation with the professional ag ladies. We'll be back. Man, we were having so much fun behind the scenes, we just about forgot we're doing a show. It's a good day. All right, you are joining us today on Weather and Ag in Focus. We have with us the professional ag ladies. And just a reminder, yesterday's guest was Chris Sherman with Tech Support Farm. If you did not get a chance to hear Chris's discussion with us, and it was about cybersecurity insurance and what you can be doing for your farm and agribusiness, you might want to go back and take a listen. He had some really great advice. You definitely want to do the self-assessment on his website and then take that to your insurance agent to see if they can cover you, because sometimes they cannot. Cyber insurance might not be what you think. And if you need some advice, check in with Chris at Tech Support Farm.
Who'd have thought we'd have those conversations?
Cyber right?
security insurance for your farm.
So, okay, Sherry, we were talking about this on the break that, I mean, we were actively in the industry at times where our phones were not mobile phones. They were hardwired in our pickups. Mm-hmm. So things have changed a lot.
Things have changed a lot, for sure.
Yeah, it was like a little receiver. Like the one that hung on your kitchen wall.
I can remember being out scouting with those flip phones, you know?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I got a weather app on there. I was Ooh. Really cool.
Oh.
And farmers would call me and I'd be out in the middle of the field. Hey, when is it going to rain?
Yeah. Because
they were spraying and they wanted to know like how long until, yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, let me
know. I don't know. I'm out in the...
Yeah, farmers got phones in their tractors, but there were no apps on them. So they would all call their local agronomy centers and say, what does the DTN tell you for rain? That was an app.
That was
calling in locally. Okay, so Sherry and Sarah are in studio with us. We've got Marcia on the phone. And all right, you guys, we've been looking at rainfall totals across the whole state. We're ranging anywhere from 2 inches over here to 7 on the western side of the state. We have fields that have fertilizer applied but not yet planted. Particularly, I'm thinking about corn. Okay, so Sherry, with fertilizer, first of all, anything that with the markets right now that could be influencing decisions? Do people stop fertilizing if they haven't? Just any thoughts in the fertilizer market before I start talking about weather conditions, volatility, underground, you know, soil leaching, et cetera?
Well, the market is pretty firm right now in the sense that for Mosaic, we just sell phosphate and potash, right? So we're not so as involved in the nitrogen market, which is a lot more volatile usually. But regardless, the phosphate and the potash markets are very firm.
Yep.
And some of the reasons for that, number one is China, our friends. There's approximately 1 million tons of phosphate that they are keeping in country.
Oh.
So part of it's for their own farmers and part of it's for batteries. And so the market for the batteries has grown tremendously, right?
Yep.
But we also are looking at that, how long term is that?
Sure.
And that's one of the avenues that Mosaic has chosen not to get into just because we want to make sure we've got enough for our American farmer today.
Absolutely.
And we've already cut back what we export out to keep more product here in North America. And so the market's very tight. Just came out with some programs just within the last week, and the pricing on that isn't dropping,
right,
which it normally does during the spring season. And so I would say stay tuned, because it's if you have the opportunity as a farmer to buy or to lock product in, I probably would, because it's getting tighter as we go on.
So as we think about fertilizer decisions right now, again, we've probably got some product on field. It could be NPK, and we haven't planted yet. So in that instance, so Marcia, do you get concerned with any of your growers that they could be losing, whether it's through physical movement of product, leaching? I don't think we have to worry about volatility right now, but any concerns that you would have with a corn grower?
Maybe a little bit. It really depends on the amount of rainfall. You know, 2 inches, I'm not concerned about that. 5-6 inches, I'd probably be a little bit concerned about maybe some movement down, mostly the nitrogen or sulfur. You know, P and K, they're not moving. But to be honest, I'm not overly concerned about it.
Okay.
I mean, they're going to get planted, and they may have to do a little bit of side dressing.
Okay.
You know, keep that in the back pocket.
All right, so
I'm not overly concerned about it.
Okay, so Marcia's feeling pretty positive. Soil science, Sarah.
I think when we think about leaching and nutrient movement, it's important for us to think about, like, what's going on with the weather and the soil more than are we really going to have an issue right now. So, okay, so let's think about how much ponding we've got actually going out in certain places and how long that ponding is going to exist. Okay, and then let's take it back to soil type too. So sandier soils, less organic matter, those are going to be your places where you're going to have leaching potential. That's going to be with your sulfurs and your nitrogens. And so in the Fargo clays that we've got here in our backyard, we're not going to have actually a ton of leaching potential. Usually we don't leach those nutrients. It is possible, though, to have volatilization with nitrogen specifically. However, it's not very warm. Usually that's something that happens when you've got ponding that extends for a long time and you've got warm temperatures that causes that volatilization to occur. Your nutrients like your phosphorus and your potassiums, they tend to be more soil immobile. And so, you know, one of the things that you can do if you're concerned about the cost of the fertilizer, I'm going to transgress on a little different tangent here, but you can try to use some precision agriculture and place those rates in different places across the field to be very efficient with those nutrients. And it's interesting because historically precision agriculture, I feel like, has been used more to manage nitrogen from that perspective, but there's many fields across the area where you can really manage that potassium and that phosphorus from that perspective and be a little bit more efficient with your dollars and how you're using those products. So I guess that's where we're at, but we didn't really start this spring with saturated soils, so
right,
we have that in our back pocket to help kind of manage those more soil mobile nutrients, those nitrogens and those sulfurs.
Okay.
And it's not too late, right? I mean,
Thank
we've
you.
got, we've got plenty of corn planting left. I mean, this rain isn't going to last forever.
No.
We know that. We already have warmer soils.
Mm-hmm.
And even if some of that corn gets planted a little bit later, it could be an earlier maturity, that's going to pop out of the ground pretty quick.
Absolutely.
And so if the fertilizer's out there, I wouldn't be concerned just yet. We have time.
And like Marcia said, you can always go in and side dress if you need to.
Correct.
That's all. There's ways. There's ways. Yep. There's always more than one way to skin a cat.
Okay. So speaking of Marcia, because you represent a lot of the weed control portion of this discussion, et cetera, what are some of the questions that you are probably getting like the most of right now?
That many?
That good, huh?
That was awesome.
Do we really want to discuss that? You've had most of my text messages.
Okay, you're right. So there's been some concern. If we're going to talk about certain weeds, wild oat, kochia, water hemp, still on the top of our list. Any recommendations to prevent further bad ideas, Marcia?
Well, first of all, some of these guys need to read labels. With some of our chemistry, you know, we want to incorporate quickly. Let's not put it out and then wait 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, and then go work the field. It doesn't work like that. You know, pre-emerge chemistry, biggest thing out there is let's get the layers out. So let's get a pre-emerge out there in your corn, in your wheat, in your soybeans, whatever. Get a pre-emerge out there. We're waging a pretty heavy war on resistant weed biotypes. And like the field I was just in today, you know, they've lost ACCAs for the most part.
Oh, Dean's ringing his bell. He's got a question.
What was that?
ACCACE.
Hey, what's that?
ACCACE inhibitors are a mode of action classification for herbicides. That's the way that chemistry kills that weed.
Gotcha.
Okay.
All right.
That's good? Got
yep,
that? Okay.
Got it.
Okay. And you'll see a lot of ACCAs, group one, group twos. That's how they're looped together. Okay, Marcia.
So, I mean, the biggest thing is we're bringing a lot of chemistry back. We're making kind of some of the old stuff new again. Somalan, take Somalan, for instance, or Eptam. I know. And the amount of phone calls I've gotten on Somalan and Eptam this year has just been crazy. And what it's going to do. It's like, okay, put your Somalan out. You want it at, you know, 2.5 to 3 pints. That's where we want to be at. Some of the lighter soils, okay, we're going to back it down to 2 pints. But get it out there. Layer it on. You're going after your water hemp. You're going after your pigweed species. I mean, those are our biggest issues in certain fields, and it's really just multiple modes of action across the field. I can't stress that enough. Multiple modes of action. Our days of Roundup are gone.
Just Roundup and
we're
some
not going to get by with that anymore.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen.
Marcia's not wrong. Resistance management. Joe Eichley at NDSU, who is extension weed specialist, will tell us that we have got to pay attention to that much more closely. Okay, we will probably be back in just a few minutes. Don't go anywhere, ladies, because you never know if there might be another question for everybody to answer, unless Dean rings the bell on us. So we'll see what that looks like, but stay tuned. We'll be right back.
That's fine. I got a milkman that'll bring it to me.
Welcome back to Weather and Laughing and Focus.
We're talking shady butter deals on the commercial breaks.
Yeah.
Marcia knows. She's been part of it. Look at her laugh.
I just found out that Bridget's old milkman went to jail.
I've said this a couple times. Yeah.
Very interesting.
True story.
You can't make this stuff up.
No, you can't.
We still have a milkman in Hillsborough, North Dakota.
You're breaking my heart.
I know. It's great.
I don't. Hey, Dean, how's the weather?
Well, we're looking at more rain. In fact, the rain let up for a bit in Fargo. We've got heavier bands now off to our east. That's right. This is backing in from the east. And we got some more moderate rainfall now stretching from about Fergus up through Barnesville, moving northeastward into the FM area. So we'll continue to see this rain all afternoon. And like I said earlier, we're going to set a record here for daily rainfall total. The old record, well, the current record stands at 1.36 inches. And according to Endon, we're at buck 43 right now. So I'm not sure what the airport is officially reporting. We'll double check on that. But needless to say, we'll go down in the record books with this rainfall today. We needed the rain. We really did. And you don't want too much of a good thing. But the good news is, looking long term, I know, Sarah, you were talking about warmer temperatures. Next week, we could get back into the more 70s and maybe even a few 80s for next week.
So. Well, you just said, you know, we needed the rain. So I was going to ask everybody's opinion. How much did we need the rain?
We started dry. We started this year dry. I will say last fall when I was soil sampling up at Hillsboro, I don't think it was as dry in the profile 2 feet down as it was in the fall of 2020, you know, and then 2021 was a really nasty drought that year. But it was pretty dry. And so I'm very thankful for this. But, you know, my neck of the woods on the Fargo Clay where I'm located, I never pray for rain. I only ever pray for favorable conditions. So please surf.
Good point. Yeah. Good point.
I'm in the southeastern corner of the state. Same. Very dry last fall, dry last summer. And also in that heavy, heavy clay gumbo loon crap ground that they so call it.
Yep.
But as you go west, like I cover the upper Midwest in my geography, you get up around that Devil's Lake area, that Hanford, they were wet. Mm-hmm. So they were struggling to get into the field earlier to where most everybody around them. And now Minot's received quite a bit of rain.
Yep.
And now as we go west, they needed it for sure. I've got customers in Williston who say we are always 2 weeks away from a major drought.
Oh.
And so we needed it, and I don't think anything that we've gotten so far, now it depends how much more is coming. You said there's a few more bands that are coming from the east.
Yeah, we'll probably pick up about, on top of what we have right now, half inch, maybe an inch in some localized areas.
And it's doable. So it's not like we're doing back-to-back-to-back like we have in the past where we've got these huge rains that are coming through. Or, as you mentioned earlier, sir, this isn't a dumper. So thank God for that, it's a nice slow rain. And you know, it was hot the last, you know, 10 days prior to this front. So I think it's good. It's good that we cool off and it's a nice slow rain.
Cattle, pastures, real happy right now. Pastures are going to look real good.
I did have one buddy up at Williston that texted me this morning and said 7.3 for the last, like, couple days here.
Yeah.
And they had more rain.
Was that
last week? No, it's actually up by Williston. Yep. Somebody I know through on a board that I serve with, and he said it's all soaked up.
Good.
And I don't think he's crying at all. So
and Marsha, I mean, you're traveling out west. You're shaking your head. You're like, yep, this is a good thing.
Well, I mean, we were going into this. You think about the hay ground. You know, I was talking to my boss earlier, and their cattle. So they sold their cattle off. They still have a few head around, but the guy that bought their cattle said if they open CRP for hazing, for haying,
yep, haying or grazing,
can I have first opportunity at it?
Yep.
You know, so hay ground, I mean, this is going to be huge for those cattle guys, for any of those hay operations, because Lord knows, you know, they're going to at least get one decent cutting.
So one of the things I think about, too, with cattle, we're restocking ponds and dams. And next week, I'm going to have Lisa Peterson with NDSU Livestock Extension on. We're going to talk about the fact that we had all these stock dams down so low, and we were concerned about things like blue algae and other contaminants that could have been a problem for water quality for cattle. Now we just got a bunch of rain on top of it. What does that change? Should we still be concerned? I mean, I've got guys calling well drillers in north central South Dakota because they are concerned that they may not have enough rain to make it through the season on their stock dams. So there's reasons to be thinking about all this. So above all, I want to say thank you to you ladies for joining us today. I think this will be a irregular comment that we're going to a regular session.
I only got to use this once today.
Right. Yeah. We will always bring the bell for Dean. But I think we just want to have the discussion. We have varied aspects of agribusiness, agronomy that we've all been a part of. We bring very different perspectives. It's not always about what's happening today, but also some of that historical perspective, because we've got a few years as a group. we can use those. So, and Dean, thanks for playing along.
Hey, it's been fun. It always is.
Good.
It always is.
Good. And so, yeah, we're going to get a little bit more rainfall. We're going to finish planting. If you look at statewide planting right now, it says we're about 50% across the whole state. I thought that was low. We'll see where that goes. I think we're going to catch up real quick once it stops raining.
So for those that haven't planted yet, how long with this 1 to 2 inch rainfall, how far does that set back?
Back.
It depends how dry we are after this.
It depends.
It depends. That's right.
Well, it depends on the grower.
She's right.
Yep.
It really depends on the grower.
I want to thank everybody for joining us on Weather and Ag and Focus. Don't go anywhere. The Jay Thomas Show. It's coming up next.